Amazon is hiring near you. Start as soon as 7 days. No resume or experience required. Earn an additional $2 an hour through April. Health and safety are a top priority with all our roles and sites, and Amazon is taking precautions in our buildings to keep people healthy. Learn more or find a job now at amazon.com/apply. That's amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to another very special live episode of Tatooine Sons. We're here at GameStop for the release of Jedi Fallen Order.
Woo!
This has us thinking about Star Wars games of the past. Which ones are our favorites and why? We're heading into the Wayback Machine to talk Battlefront, Lego games, Unleashed, and more. And of course, we'll share our hot takes, poll results, and what's coming to shelves next week.
Well, you look like an overgrown Kowakian monkey lizard, so I guess looks don't count for much.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Tervis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Tervis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Tervis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you still want to check out these games that we're going
to
be talking about.
There's some awesome games, especially one of them that I used to play at Fargo's every Sunday night.
Wow.
Got one guy that knows what Fargo's is. All right, there we go. We're live here at GameStop. So thanks for joining us here. We're here for the Jedi Fallen Order. It's pretty exciting about that.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
All right, guys. It is here. It is officially Jedi Fallen Order night. Everybody's been posting online today. You know, Underworld, Star Wars News Net, Making Star Wars. All those guys have been posting all day long that Jedi Fallen Order comes out tomorrow. That's not true. How many of you are here right now picking up Jedi Fallen Order tonight? Woo! Come on, let's hear it. Yeah! Jedi Fallen Order comes out tonight. How many of you are going to be up all night playing Jedi Fallen Order? Yeah, a couple of us. Okay. All right. Maybe some of us have to work. So we're really excited about this. BB Nate, this has been your deal, right?
Yeah.
So Sam got the Mandalorian earlier this week.
Yeah.
That's been his thing. You have Jedi Fallen Order. You've been pumped about this. What are you thinking right now as we get ready for it?
I just wanted to come sooner. And I want to be
one of the employees just threatened to quit early so he could take his copy he put in his backpack home and go play.
Smart. So,
I'm not outing you or anything about that.
I've got to stay off some social media and YouTube right now because some people have already had their releases.
Their download has come through?
Their download has come through. Their releases at other GameStops have come through. They've already played an hour and a half, maybe 3 hours.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So I've got to stay. But
we're not playing it tonight. You guys got school tomorrow, so... Can't do that.
Don't have to be up early.
Don't have to be up early. Yeah, you're a college student. You don't have to go to class. No, you don't have class tomorrow. All right, so that's pretty cool. There's lots of fun stuff coming up with Star Wars this week. The list is like longer than Darth Maul's lightsaber. All right, we've got. Let's see, Force Collector. That's a young adult novel that's coming out. There's a lot of people within, like, Lucasfilm Story Group, Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, that have gone on record and said that Force Collector is one of those must-read novels before The Rise of Skywalker in December, along with Resistance Reborn. So that one's coming out this next week. Of course, the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Traveler's Guide to Batuu is coming out, which is just basically another book that's a commercial for Galaxy's Edge, which is cool. The Allegiance graphic novel is coming out this week, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
One that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Star Wars Secrets of the Jedi.
I've not heard of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about this when it was first announced. So this is the one that is supposed to tell the story of the entire Skywalker saga. From the perspective of the Jedi, from the perspective of the Skywalkers.
Right.
And when it's in the original trilogy, it's supposed to be from Anakin's perspective. Our prequel trilogy, when it's in the prequel trilogy, it's from Anakin's perspective. When it's the original trilogy, it's from Luke's perspective. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that came out that the sequel trilogy is being told from Rey's perspective, which is creating some controversy.
Oh, just a little bit.
Because the others are all Skywalkers, and we aren't supposed to believe that she is. So that one's coming out this week. Star Wars Volume 12 graphic novel is coming out. This one's got all to do with Jedi Fallen Order. The Art of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order reference book is coming out. That, some of the shots. Have you seen any of this stuff online?
I'm waiting until we get the digital download from the Deluxe Edition.
We're getting the Deluxe Edition tonight. Mm-hmm. What else are we getting with the edition
tonight? We're getting a pre-order bonus and an exclusive Black Series Purge Trooper.
Purge Trooper. It looks pretty cool. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it looks really neat.
Awesome. Of course, so that one's going to be pretty awesome. Some of the art that's come out from the Art of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order has been absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait to see the rest of that. Star Wars Legends Epic Collection The Menace Revealed Volume 3.
That's really long.
I have no idea what that one is. It's a Legends graphic novel.
So they're still releasing Legends?
They're releasing them comics and things like that with that. So that's kind of cool. Star Wars 75, the issue is called It's a Trap. Now, here's what's really interesting about this. I saw some panels from that today online when they were previewing it. And you have Chewie fighting Darth Vader.
What? Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And Luke coming to Chewie's aid. And this is between Empire and Return of the Jedi. What do you guys think about that?
I'm okay.
Yeah,
that happens.
Let's see. I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, that one should be interesting.
And then the big boy,
the big one coming out on the 21st. Mm. We're waiting for it. Vader Immortal Episode 3. Anybody here played Vader Immortal yet? On the Oculus. Oh, it's not really a GameStop thing. So
it's tough. It is so
fun. And this is Episode 3.
Final episode.
What do we predict is going to happen in it?
A lot.
A lot. Thanks, BB Nate.
I think we're going to destroy the Bright Star. I think we have to destroy it so Vader can't use it.
Do you think that... Well, Mustafar can't be destroyed.
No.
I feel like we're going to try to restore Mustafar to its original state. But you don't see Mustafar very much after...
Well, you do see it in Rogue One, and we know it's there, so...
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see on that. Pretty cool. So that's everything coming out Star Wars in the next week, in addition to things like, I don't know, The Mandalorian Episode 2, which comes out tomorrow, Chapter 2 coming out tomorrow. We're not going to get into spoilers with this because there's so many of our listeners in Europe, Great Britain, of course, is part of that, but it's part of Europe. I don't know if I've explained geography to you guys yet.
Yeah, it's never been strong.
Great Britain is part of Europe.
Oh, right? Okay, got it.
And then we've got Switzerland, which is cool, because that's where Roberto Moreno are. No, he's Switzerland. Remember, Swiss cheese, not Swedish meatballs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way we described that. With that. And then... all of our Australia listeners, none of them have seen The Mandalorian. It's not, Disney Plus doesn't get released till like March in those countries.
I wonder why.
So we can't talk any kind of like details on it. Just for those of you who have seen it, episode one, or for those of you that are just anxiously waiting to hear what we think about it, without spoilers, give us your opinion of The Mandalorian.
It was
chapter one.
Well, it was. It felt like to me it was Star Wars.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I heard some people say that the pacing was a little slow. I really don't think that. I think it was developing more. It was character development throughout that whole episode. Now, Sammy was talking that this was a lot of fan service, and I would say that, yeah, probably.
But not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way.
It worked.
Yeah. It works, and I feel like it's going to have more importance later in the series, much more.
What do you think, Samuel? The Mandalorian's your deal, so.
Yeah, I think it'll be well worth the wait.
For those that have to wait until March or beyond.
It's well worth it.
There's a guy that I know that's in Japan. He can't get it until November 2021.
At that point, you might want to figure out how to watch it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not encouraging pirating, but if he did.
Okay.
I would say this. After 48 hours, roughly, of Star Wars online fandom, having a chance to discuss The Mandalorian, it could be that The Mandalorian is going to do something that no one thought was possible. Unite Star Wars fandom.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Nobody is arguing about... I mean, the worst thing I've heard about The Mandalorian was, like you said, some people thought it was a little slow, the first episode. That's the worst I've heard about that. And with Star Wars fandom being the way Star Wars fandom is, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yep.
Very cool. All right.
This is mad.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about a review. We did get a review last week.
Wow. Hey.
And this is kind of cool for us because this guy's, I think this is his third time he's reviewed our show.
Really?
I think he goes in like every 6 months and deletes his review so he can review it again. Which is fine, you know. Rural Farm Boy is one of the most passionate fans that we have of this. That's his Twitter handle, and he gave us another review last week. So we're gonna.
He always writes it in like,
and he writes it like
dialogue.
Like it should sound like Rural Farm. Yeah. Should I try to read it like Rural Farm Boy?
No.
You said that last time, and we said please no.
Here we go. Star 5 stars. Star Wars is about family. I got to read it the way he wrote it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. David and his two boys, Sam and Nathan, talking all things Star Wars as a family does, listeners included. They're all together our fandom, I'm telling you. Their show's recommended listening by me, Rural Farm Boy. All right. Yeah, thank you, Rural Farm Boy. And he loves us, and so he's not going to get offended by that.
No,
all right,
hopefully.
Let's hope. and this podcast today, live and unedited,
very unedited,
more unedited than even normal, is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I picked one today. It's kind of ironic because I'm looking at a member of Inferno Squad out here from the 501st that's joining our celebration here of Jedi Fallen Order. And my recommendation for this week's audible.com trial is Star Wars Battlefront Inferno Squad. Have you guys read that yet?
No.
I've
got to check it out.
I don't read books all.
Get the audio version or whatever and listen to it sometime. It's
while
so
while
good.
You're studying.
Get the Audible version. Right?
Get the Audible version.
There we go.
Exactly. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and listen to the results from last week's Got It Right podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
No! No! All right. Last week's was, when are you planning on picking up Jedi Fallen Order? Anybody, when are you planning on picking up Jedi Fallen Order?
Tonight!
All right. So we had about 200 votes on our poll, which was awesome. We had already ordered, first week, eventually, or never. Were you surprised by the results before we read them off? So we've got 12% said they'd pick it up within the first week.
Okay.
All right. But there's a caveat with that. All right. It's coming in just a second. 14% said they're never going to pick up this game. What are they thinking?
I mean,
It's
going to be absolutely amazing. We can't wait for it. 29% said eventually.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Some people talked about that. And a whopping runaway winner. 45% of the people in our poll said they've already ordered it. And so that's what everybody here's done. All right. Let's read some of the results or the comments from some of you guys on there. Yeah. Who's got the first? I got the first one. When do I ever stop talking? All right. You guys going to take over here in a minute?
When it comes to us, yeah.
All right. When it gets your turn? Okay. Mike Carolla SJ at SJ Times 13 said, going Thursday night to pick up my copy. Smart guy.
Yeah.
All right. That's what he's going to be doing. Who's got the next one?
Yeah, so this is from Postcards from Galaxy's Edge. It's a cool one. I think it's at from Galaxy's Edge.
I'm pretty sure.
Let's go. They said, I have to wait for my birthday on the 22nd of December.
You know, these games can they cost some money, so not everybody can get them right off the bat. I think Postcards is actually from Great Britain, and so they haven't watched Mandalorian. They were telling me that.
Shame.
Yeah, kind of sucks. All right.
So we have Asher Feltman at Asher Feltman, thank you.
That was an easy one. Yeah. All right.
And they said, that baby's been pre-ordered for a year now.
Wow! They ordered it a year ago when
it
was really...
I don't even think we pre-ordered it that long.
No, we ordered it like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, awesome. They're
stronger Star Wars fans than we are.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it felt like a year.
All right, enough of the preliminaries.
Okay.
It's time. There's some good ones. Let's move on. All right, so J.J. Abrams talked to Crazy Uncle George... about the midichlorians.
Oh, okay. Bringing those up again.
Yeah. Have you seen the original trilogy deleted scenes on Disney Plus?
No.
And John Boyega, you know, that's Finn.
Yeah, I know who John Boyega is.
Yeah. He wasn't thrilled with Finn in The Last Jedi. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so here we go. J.J. Abrams talked with George Lucas. You know that guy?
Yeah.
Have you heard of him?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams talked with George Lucas about midichlorians for The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, this is from ScreenRant.com. You know, they did an article on Turbis.
They did.
They were the first ones to do an article on Turbis the Porg after he was made canon. Absolutely. So... give them a shout out. All right. J.J. Abrams says he and Star Wars creator George Lucas talked about midichlorians during their discussion for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Lucas introduced the concept of midichlorians, microscopic organisms that allow beings in the Star Wars universe to use the Force, in 1999 Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. As the Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn explained to a young Anakin Skywalker in the film, midichlorians continually speak to us, telling us the will of the Force.
Okay.
Yeah. So speaking to Total Film via Games Radar, J.J. Abrams revealed that he had a meeting with Lucas before starting production on The Rise of Skywalker, and the filmmaker confirmed they talked about the idea behind the Force and the themes Lucas was focusing on when he wrote A New Hope more than 40 years ago. As a result, the topic of midichlorians eventually came up. And here's a quote from J.J. Abrams himself.
Okay.
Yes. There were some conversations about midichlorians. He loves midichlorians. But it was a very helpful thing. Sitting with him is a treat just to hear him talk because it's George Lucas talking about Star Wars. I always feel it's a gift to hear him talk about that stuff because the effect that he had on me at 10 years old is utterly profound. Samuel LaHutt, this one's going to you. You ready?
No.
Will the midichlorians be making an appearance in The Rise of Skywalker?
I don't really think so. Because when he was talking to George, it happened to come up in conversation. It wasn't like he specifically asked him about the midichlorians. One thing that I find interesting, though, is that George said that he really likes the idea. He really enjoys the idea of the midichlorians, which I guess makes sense. Why would he put him in there if he didn't like it?
But, yeah.
Well, you know, you do recall that George's original plan for the sequel trilogy was to really go into the midichlorians super deep when he talked about that. So,
I wonder how different it would have been. Like,
yeah.
Response would have been better. If he'd let it play out.
Well, since Star Wars fans tend to just complain, then it probably wouldn't have been, you know, and we're one of them, so we deal with it too. But yeah, I don't know if it'd be any better. What do you think, BB Nate? Midichlorians in the Rise of Skywalker, are they happening?
No, I feel like we all know Crazy Uncle George, and he just brings stuff up in conversation. So they might have he might have just brought up the idea of midichlorians, probably for JJ to put it in there, thinking about it. But
what do you think JJ did?
I think he just decided to indulge George Lucas.
Yeah.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Honestly, I think he was thinking about it. Listening to George Lucas and thinking if he should put it in The Rise of Skywalker. But
Maybe Colin Trevorrow, who is the original writer and director of this film before he got fired 2 years ago, do you think maybe they were telling him to put midichlorians in and he refused and that's why he fired?
Or maybe he did. I mean, there's a lot of gray area there. I mean, it's certainly a possibility. I don't think so, because this is the first we're hearing about midichlorians and The Rise of Skywalker, and again, it just happened to come up in conversation. So I don't think we have to worry about it too much.
All right. Well, let's go to the next one. All right, Star Wars rare deleted scenes were released on Disney Plus for the first time. Did you guys even know that these were in there?
I knew. Is it like the Anchorhead stuff?
Well, here's it's from all three of the original trilogy. So here's what we've got going on. This is from digitalspy.com. I want to make sure we credit them, because we've gotten in trouble for not doing that before.
Really?
Not from them, but from somebody else. I'm still bitter. Following the launch of Disney Plus in the U.S., Star Wars fans are now able to stream the original trilogy in glorious 4K. And we need I want a 4K TV. We don't need a 4K TV, but I want a 4K TV. Anyway, and each film also comes with some rare deleted scenes. Some of the deleted scenes in A New Hope give us a better look at Luke Skywalker's life on Tatooine at the beginning of the film. And yes, we finally do get to see Tashi Station in this. The place Luke desperately wanted to go to get those much-needed power converters that he never actually got. Yeah, so there's also an early cut of the cantina scene. This one's interesting. In which Han Solo can be seen talking to a woman before Luke and Obi-Wan Kenobi first encounter him. And as it hadn't yet been dubbed with alien voices, you can also hear the actors talking in English. So all the masked creatures, you hear them talking in English in that scene. So that's pretty cool. And as it's an original cut of the scene, it also clearly shows that Han shot first in this one. Although a change to the full film version of Disney Plus has once again restarted the whole debate on that, that happened with this version of it. So that's kind of cool. Now, in Empire Strikes Back, there's a romantic scene between Luke and Princess Leia after he's attacked by the Wampa on Hoth.
Okay.
I think they hug in one of the corridors.
Okay.
With that, he prepares to share his feelings for her and go in for a kiss. But then, luckily, R2-D2 and C-3PO interrupt before anything happens.
Luckily.
And, of course, at this point, the two of them didn't know that they were brother and sister. So, that's good that Luke and Leia didn't kiss even more. That would have gotten
uncomfortable.
Awkward. And then, in Return of the Jedi, we get to see Commander Jerjerod. I just wanted to say Commander Jerjerod. That one's hard. I'm surprised I got one out. He questions orders to blow up Endor with the Death Star in that deleted scene, which is like he's being told to use the Death Star on Endor. As he points out, there are still several battalions, namely Inferno Squad, on the moon with that. So... and then one of the last fan-pleasing scenes sees Luke actually construct his green lightsaber.
They actually show that.
They show that one, which would have been featured in the film before the scene of on Jabba the Hutt's barge. So, BB Nate, of all those that I just mentioned, which deleted scene is the most intriguing to you?
Definitely that last one. I mean, that's just really cool. You get to see Luke Skywalker.
You and Steel Saunders, ignite the green, right?
Well, sure. I mean, I've always loved... My favorite arc in Clone Wars, besides Mortis, would have to be the whole Younglings arc where they go and get their kyber crystals and they're on the ship and they're making and constructing their lightsabers. And I've just always loved that arc. I don't know why.
Remind me about that statement in just a second. Okay. All right? I want to get Samuel the Hutt. What is your most intriguing scene?
Yeah, he kind of stole the one I was going for. But if I were to pick another one, it would probably be like the Anchorhead stuff, like the or the
him and going to see Biggs Darklighter, yeah, and the Tosche like Station, and all that kind of stuff.
And then if not that, then definitely the stuff on the cantina. The cantina is a really interesting thing, especially to hear like what the actors were saying, like not like in English. You know what I mean. I think that would be kind of fun to watch.
So you guys aren't excited to actually see for the first time with your own eyes Han shoot first.
I mean,
I'm so pumped about going. I like want to watch this now.
I mean,
that was the way
I've always lived with Han didn't shoot first. So I mean. It'd be great to see it. I would have loved.
I did shoot first.
Well, I've always grew up with the special edition, but
not actually, bitter yet.
In the re-edited again for Disney Plus, people have been watching it and they've noticed that they shoot at the same time this,
which was another correction that George Lucas did after the 2011 Blu-ray came out. For, according to Pablo Hidalgo, for a 3D version that was going to hit theaters that never hit with that. And then he sold Lucasfilm to Disney just before it was supposed to release, and they didn't release it.
Interesting.
Now, here's what I wanted to talk about. You talked about the planet with the kyber crystals and Luke putting his lightsaber together and stuff. It came out this week in a Star Wars I think it was a comic.
Okay.
That Starkiller base is that planet.
Really?
It is Ilum? The planet. It is Ilum. Starkiller base is Ilum, and the weapon that they use is them channeling the kyber crystals.
And maybe
on
that's
Ilum.
Why it had such a big explosion.
You're serious?
I am dead serious. It's Ilum. They came out with that.
Okay. So. That changes a lot. That really does change a lot.
That's so cool. Okay.
That's awesome.
All right, last one. John Boyega. Finn, okay. Right?
Yeah.
You guys ready for this one?
I think so.
I got a bad feeling about
John Boyega was adamant that Finn had to have a bigger role in The Rise of Skywalker.
He had a big role. He was like... He was in there for more than most of the characters.
Well, let me read what he said. So, again, this is another one from Digital Spy. Star Wars' John Boyega has revealed he was adamant that his character Finn have a larger role in The Rise of Skywalker. The actor will reprise his part as the stormtrooper turned resistance hero in the upcoming movie, though has responded to one fan who argued his character wasn't as developed in The Last Jedi. Taking to Twitter, John Boyega wrote, "I hear you. Give it a shot, episode 9. I was really adamant on more Finn involvement. Hopefully you'll like it." What do you guys think? What's your prediction for Finn in The Rise of Skywalker?
I think he's going to kind of take, we've talked about this before, kind of Poe's place in a way, because I feel like Poe's going to have to kind of step up as general.
Yeah,
Because like the whole arc of... Episode 8 was Poe was this cocky hothead, and eventually he learned to take a leadership role and kind of step back. While Finn went from this coward to very much kind of what Poe's position was. You know, he was going in like, let's help Luke right now, you know. And Poe told him to kind of stand back. So I think that he is going to get a larger role. I think he's going to become this new, kind of almost take Poe's place in a way.
Yeah, okay. Like. What do you think, BB Nate?
I think that Finn is going to have a very big role. We've heard a lot and seen a lot of Finn in the trailers and in the promo images we saw at Star Wars Celebration. There's a lot of him going on. And I feel like he's going to be taking Poe's place. But I feel like he's going to have more to do with Rey in this one. Because they're not... She's not on Octu, and he's not trying to find her. So I feel like we're going to be seeing more of the interactions between maybe the Force, Rey telling him about it, and I feel like we're going to get a lot more of him.
Well, you know, when we watched the latest trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, he's the one talking about the Force and him being brought together with Rey, which then reminds me of the episode we did back a few months ago discussing whether or not Finn actually might be Force-sensitive, and him responding on Twitter saying, look out for episode 9, basically. with that. So do you think that that's where he's going with this whole thing? Is Finn force sensitive?
I hope not. I don't want them to go there.
I don't think so. I think that he thinks he is.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's talk about some Star Wars games. So we're celebrating the release of Jedi Fallen Order, the latest in a long line of Star Wars games. But which games do we think are the best in this series throughout the Star Wars history?
Okay.
We're sharing our unofficial top five Star Wars games, along with a few honorable mentions, next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so... Jedi Fallen Order is a highly anticipated game. There's lots of people that are super excited about it. People here at GameStop right now. There's actually, like you said, BB-8, people already at home playing Jedi Fallen Order.
Which I am
East Coast, so jealous.
But, that's the way that it happens. But Star Wars has got a long history of games, and there's been literally dozens of different Star Wars games over the past 2 years since the original movie came out. So I've selected some of these based on what I read on mandatory.com. I'll put a link in there. They've got some great ideas. They had other ones that I didn't agree with on there, but I pulled some of their descriptions on here. I've got five. I want to get your thoughts on these.
Okay.
I put them in sort of an order based on what I thought general fandom would put these in the order. No, it's like going from... It's like not the first one is at the top game. It's like building to the top game.
I'm like, yeah, Dave, you got it way off.
Yeah. So the first one I've got on here, and the complete saga has not been released yet, has it?
The Skywalker saga.
The Skywalker saga has not been released, but the complete saga has.
Yeah.
Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga. That's the first one we're going to talk about here. So while not the most complex of titles, the Lego Star Wars series has been delivering enjoyable fun for the whole family for a decade now, and getting to reenact your favorite scenes from the various films is a blast. And the Complete Saga includes all six. Okay, that's the difference. The Skywalker Saga has all nine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does it include the anthologist?
I don't know if it does or not. The Complete Saga includes all six of George Lucas directed pictures.
The originals, the prequels,
and the original trilogy. What do you guys think? Now, I know, Sam, this was your game, man.
I spent hours. I had this on the Wii, and I would play it for so long that the Wii would overheat and it would freeze.
It would lock up?
It would lock up and freeze, and I'd just shut it down and wait for it to cool down.
Which one of the episodes of 1 through 6 was your favorite?
Looking back, I don't remember. I played them all through multiple times. I was pretty fond of, I think 2 and 3 were real fun for me. But then I also played this, sandbox game a lot, where it was, you just go through the city.
So explain what that means.
Basically, it was just,
For your old father that didn't play Lego games.
It was just some city that you went around and did stuff and tried to collect as many studs as you can. Or like currency or whatever. And it wasn't Star Wars themed really at all, but it was just a fun thing that I like to play. I spent hours on that game. That was my game for a while.
Okay.
So, when I heard they were coming out with Skywalker Saga, I was really pumped for that.
Very pumped. All right. What about you, BB Nate? Did you remember playing much about the complete Lego? I remember
watching Sam a lot.
He didn't let you play with him, huh?
No, not at all.
I always enjoyed it because he loved the game so much, and I just love to see that. And I think it was 3 years ago, I got that for his birthday.
Yeah.
You bought that for him for his birthday.
Yes.
Because we don't have the Wii anymore.
So we got it for the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. And, it was just so much fun to try to play it again. And, relive those moments and like have a Lego game where they didn't talk.
Now, have you played it much at all?
I have, yes.
So what's your favorite, like, one of the episodes?
Well, the one that I played the most was 4. I just really enjoyed that one because it had a lot to do with C-3PO and R2-D2 and the droids.
They're kind of fun in that game?
They are. They're interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right, so Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga. That's a good one. This one's mine. This one got on the list for me.
Okay.
Only for me, because you guys have played it one time in your lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Star Wars 1983.
Wow.
This game was literally in the arcade at Fargo's for my entire teenage years. Okay. It's one where you literally sit in a cockpit of an X-Wing with these really bad, horribly rendered vector graphics. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Get one.
Absolutely. We're playing this game. We're shooting up the Death Star. You got surround sounds as much as you can in a game of that era on this. And every Sunday night, you know, we go to church, we go to Fargo's afterwards, and I'd bring in my quarters and play Star Wars 1983. And this is what the write-up was here on Mandatory. For many older gamers, this is the title that immediately comes to mind when they think of the best Star Wars games. The first person rail shooter was an... Is that literally a title? Like a type of game?
Yeah.
I am so not into games anymore. All right. The first person rail shooter was an amazing experience in arcades, especially if you're lucky enough to have played the version that came with the cockpit. Yeah. The vector graphics are rather simple when compared to games today, but it's still a thrill to shoot down the Death Star.
That was so much fun.
So you guys have played this.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners, if they don't know, how you got a chance to play Star Wars 1983.
Yeah, so we were down in San Francisco to visit Lucasfilm.
Literally a year ago right now.
Really?
This week. We were in Lucasfilm.
So, but we got there a little early, and so we found that there was this huge arcade, like, museum, but you were able to play all the games. And we were walking around, and in, like, the very back was this Star Wars 83 game.
It was not the cockpit version.
No, unfortunately.
So that was disappointing.
But it was a lot of fun, and
I
actually kind of liked the vector graphics. It was a cool, like, style. I liked it.
It's all retro now, right?
But, I mean, I appreciated it. I thought it was...
What'd you think about it, Nate?
Well, I played it twice, but I played it the first time, and I'm like, okay, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And then I went around, and I'm like, okay, I want to play that again. I just really enjoyed it. It was just a lot of fun.
So,
and,
you know, at Walmart, they've got these, like, mini arcade sets now.
Yeah.
And they have that game for sale.
Yeah, and actually,
it's only
like
$500.
Well, it's a worthy investment.
Yeah, I agree. It includes actually
and Christmas
Star Wars
is coming.
Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
You know, and the one of you that figures out how to get that for me becomes my favorite child.
Okay.
So, all right, here we go. Let's go. This one's controversial. The listeners and maybe everybody here, they may not agree with this one, but it's on our list. All right, one of them is going to agree for sure. Star Wars Battlefront 2, 2017. It's on my list, all right? And here, okay, let's talk about the game. Here, we'll deal with this. Jump into the boots of an elite special forces soldier, equally lethal on the ground in space, in an emotionally gripping new Star Wars campaign that spans over 30 years and bridges events between the Star Wars films Return of the Jedi and Star Wars The Force Awakens. Do you agree or disagree, BB Nate, with the inclusion of Star Wars Battlefront 2 2017 on this list?
I completely agree. Even with the multiplayer, yes, there was a lot of pay to win, but I still had fun playing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign was difficult, yes, very difficult for me at least, but I really enjoyed playing it.
Yeah.
I love watching the story, I love playing through the levels, and it was just so much fun to me because we've never really had a linear Star Wars
game. I remember, it was funny, y'all were having a hard time.
I'm not good at these games.
Yeah. So you actually, it was what, just before the movie release, right?
Well, remember, you've got two different elements of it. They had the original release, and then they had the DLC that came out like the week before The Last Jedi.
Right. So it was like the night before the movie came out or something, and we had to finish the campaign. So basically what we did is we all sat on the couch, we had like all our Y adapters connected with all our headphones into the TV because Mom was upstairs sleeping, and I just played through the campaign while y'all watched, just so we could get it in as fast as you can. And that was a lot of fun. But I completely agree with this being in on the list.
At least for us.
Yeah, oh yeah. I really enjoyed the campaign, albeit it was small, but that wasn't the main thing about the game. There was a large multiplayer aspect to it.
The multiplayer aspect is the controversial element when it comes to Star Wars
Battlefront 2. Because of the pay to win, but they fixed
loot crates and all that kind of stuff.
It's all been resolved at this point.
This is on the list for me because this is the only game we've ever played together, yeah, really.
That's a good point. Well, other than 83.
Worked together as a team.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the first time, this is the Star Wars game we sat in our living room with a console and we played this game together. As far as that type of thing, this is the only game we've ever really played together. And then here's the other thing that whenever I think of Star Wars Battlefront 2, I remember when we were trying to play this. Remember we hooked it up in our bedroom?
Yeah.
Because there was a family visiting or something? Or Mima and Papa were visiting?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were in my room or something like that.
And so we went up into our bedroom and hooked it up and played it. Guys, this is literally where I created the intro sound effects and all that stuff for this podcast.
Really?
While we were waiting for that during Thanksgiving.
Really?
But with that. So cool. It was a pretty cool memory for me. So, yeah. All right.
Great game.
Now let's get into now I've played this game and you've played this game, but we played it separately.
Uh-huh.
I played it when you were little, like babies, or you were a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I played it and beat the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys picked it up later
mm-hmm.
and played it. Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. The Force Unleashed and its sequel, The Force Unleashed 2, right? Okay.
It's not on this list.
It's not on the list, no. Was the last real big budget action game before Jedi Fallen Order. While it isn't the most polished experience, and the protagonist has the ridiculous name of Starkiller, which was originally Luke's name, so I don't necessarily agree
Galen
with that.
Malik,
it's Galen Malik, yeah, you're right. What was his name as Starkiller, though?
That was his Sith name, I think.
Okay.
Starkiller is like his Sith name.
Okay. It's still a fun romp through various parts of the Star Wars universe. The story, which is continued in a sequel, is also much more interesting than it probably should be. All right.
And his DLCs is really good.
Yeah, there are some good DLCs.
Really good story.
I didn't know that those things existed for
Star
Wars The Force Unleashed.
We didn't know this because recently,
when I was like 8, I went to GameStop and picked up the Ultimate Sith Edition, which gave you all everything, all the costumes, lightsabers, DLCs, everything. And I played the DLC, spoilers, but if you haven't played
it. Yeah, by now it's been 10 years. No, yeah. it's been 6 years. So.
Yes. So, why it was, you were went to the Sith path and you were hunting Luke Skywalker down, and yes, you accomplished your mission.
You fought a Force Ghost Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Well, that's
in a
cool
lightsaber duel.
It was a lot of fun.
It was ridiculous and it was amazing.
It was. And you accomplished your mission, of course, because you're Starkiller. And it was very interesting. That was my first real connection to heavy Legends.
Like, yeah, that was like, this is about the deepest connection we have to Legends is through this game.
Yeah, I would say that you guys have, because you haven't been engaged in any of the Legends comics or books or anything like that. So here's my question for you. Two things. First of all, it's awesome because it's freaking Sam Witwer, who plays Maul and everything else in Clone Wars and in Rebels and so many other characters that we absolutely love. He's an amazing guy. So we've got Sam Witwer in this.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's interesting to me. From my recollection, especially on Force Unleashed 2, there's a lot of stuff that seems to tie into, or that some suggest, tie into Rey in the cave in The Last Jedi. The idea that there's some people that believe that they took Rey's origin from The Force Unleashed 2 with that. What do you guys think about that idea? Like, she could be a clone, there could be multiple versions of her, and that's what that vision in the
yes, there it is very clone heavy. There are multiple versions of Starkiller in Force Unleashed 2. And like, your version, the character you played, failed, so you fought yourself. And eventually, if you won, you won. If you failed, then you failed. It wasn't like you kept trying to play the level over and over again.
Okay, so it wasn't like you just like went back to the beginning of the section and started again?
No. The story split. So you could either could have died by the hand of yourself, or you could have gone on, lived a happy life.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, this was, other than Lego Star Wars, this was the other game that I played. Oh, wow.
And this is
Do you think you've played The Force Unleashed more than you played Battlefront 2?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an easy.
Really?
Yeah, yes. I've beaten that campaign so many times.
Oh, we've gone back and just played it so many times. Just because it's fun, because it's ridiculous, the stuff you can do. I mean, I used to take stormtroopers and mop the floor with them, because you could use the force to just drag people around.
Jeez. But
I was pretty sadistic.
Twisted.
But it was fun. I had a lot of fun with that game.
So. And that's why I'm so excited for Fallen Order, because
it's not going to be like that.
I know, but we haven't had a single player, third person Jedi Star Wars game since Force Unleashed.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So, do you think that Jedi Fallen Order is going to be, like, as far as the way that you view the game and play the game, going to be like your obsession was with The Force Unleashed, but even more? Because new graphics, new gameplay, and it's actually a canon story.
Yes. For me, yes, most likely.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was first playing the game, though, or Force Unleashed, I mean, I had a lot more time on my hands. No, I don't. But I would be, you know, I do see myself playing through on, like, an easier-ish mode, you know, normal mode. And then once I complete that, probably going and doing, like, hard mode and just trying to do it as...
Doing it all over again at a tougher level.
Yeah, because... I mean, just it looks like it'll be a really fun game. So
now this next one, are what I would say is probably considered the greatest Star Wars game ever created. You've never played, not really.
I tried.
You've never played.
I got pretty far, but then one of the
on your phone or in the game?
No, in like on
the old Xbox that we got at Star Wars Celebration in 2017.
Well, yeah, I played a little bit then. I just decided. No.
You gave up on it. I haven't played it. Okay.
You tried, actually.
I tried. I really wanted to. And I don't understand what the obsession is with this game. So please forgive me. But the number one game on this list is not a game that I would probably play. Mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, anybody out here, we've never played this. Let me read this description real quick. Easily the best Star Wars game ever made, according to most Star Wars fans that play games. Knights of the Old Republic is a fantastic action role-playing game by BioWare. The developer also made an excellent sequel, but they would later go on to create both Mass Effect and Dragon Age. While it isn't a graphical powerhouse, the strong writing still resonates today, and there's an excellent story for fans to take in. Would people that played Knights of the Old Republic that are out there agree with that? Are you a huge Knights of the Old Republic fans? All right, anybody want to come on the show and talk Knights of the Old Republic? All right. Now, here's we got a couple guests, or you can just stand on this side because it's a circular mic. So come on over here. Yeah, all right. No, we do. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So give me your name again. Now here's our Inferno Squad cosplayer. So give us your name.
My name is Zach.
Zach, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Give me your name.
My name is Jacob.
Jacob, nice to have you guys on here. All right.
Thank you.
You got to explain the obsession with KOTOR to us. All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll take it first.
All right.
So for me, I think it's really about the decision-based gameplay, where everything you do in the game, you can either add points to the light side and become more of a Jedi, or you can do dark things, do evil things, and become more Sith-like. And of course, with that becomes the ability to have different Force abilities.
Okay.
So light side, you're going to be able to heal. Dark side, you're going to be able to do the Force lightning, Force choking, that kind of thing. So
being able to deter, like, go either path on
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you a little disappointed that we don't have that option in Fallen Order?
Not quite. I still am really hoping to find a game or something where we do see more of the heroic side of the Empire.
Okay.
I know, of course, that's a controversial...
I wonder why.
Of course. Empire for life.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really do want to see that, because I do feel like people who were a part of the Empire, they felt like they were doing heroic things, mm-hmm. just like the Rebels were doing for their side.
And that's really interesting, because so much of Disney canon has been laying the groundwork for... It's not black and white.
Exactly.
There's so many people within the Empire that were just loyal Republic people that exactly. just got swallowed into the Empire.
Yep.
That. All right, give us your thoughts. Why is KOTOR your game?
I like it because well, for one, the decision making is a lot more fleshed out than anything else that I've seen.
Okay.
That, and I like it how you can turn your regular companions into Jedi or Dark Jedi.
Oh,
which
interesting.
No other game has ever come close to that I've seen, that you can turn your companions into completely different people.
Hmm.
Who they could let go of their past and become greater or even worse than they were before. It's pretty exciting because, well, it's more to the story. It's not just the character, it's everyone around.
You're contributing to the story and influencing others to contribute to the story. Now, this is where we get Revan and Bastila and even some Bane HK, stuff and all this. What? Tell me about how you feel like the lore of KOTOR contributes to the popularity of this game. Go for it.
Well, for the first one, I like how you play as a blank slate. Then you slowly discover that you are Revan in the end. And yet you can choose whether to go back to your old ways or change for the better, which we all know what actually happened.
Yeah,
if
sure.
you played it.
Sure.
It, and, yeah, I just like how you finally figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 75% of the way there about
Interesting.
That.
That's awesome.
That's really all my thoughts.
That's cool. So what about you? What do you think about the lore and how it contributes to this?
I'm a big fan of the lore, especially in the second one when they introduced some of the what we saw from the original trilogy when we were coming out with the books and the comic books and everything like that. And they introduced sort of the origins of the Sith, where they came from, the Dark Jedi. You know, they were turning from the Jedi faith and becoming Dark Jedi. And they eventually settled on a planet called Korriban, and we learn more about that and the Sith origins, and I'm a huge fan of that, of course, naturally.
Sure.
But I think even going beyond that, seeing more of what's out there, we see a very linear story with Star Wars and the original trilogy and the prequels and now the sequels, but it's really exciting to see that there's so much more out there. There's thousands and thousands of years worth of history, and we get to see little snippets of it through these games, through Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, so one of the things that was off-putting for me about playing the game is it is a really long campaign. What would you say? I'm a big new canon fan. Would you recommend me going back and taking the time to play through, say, because I have Knights of the Old Republic 2. Would you say, going back through and playing that game?
I would recommend it.
Okay.
Again, it really does bring in a lot of those things that you guys were talking about earlier, a lot with the midichlorians, a lot with where everything sort of came from.
Okay.
Especially with the Jedi faith, the Knights of the Wills, that kind of thing, because that's part of the midichlorian, the whole history with that. So it is, I think it does really come in handy in learning a little bit more about where all of this sort of came from.
Okay.
That's cool. Now, there's been lots of rumors in the last year that Disney is in the works of trying to bring KOTOR, or at least the Old Republic ideas, into a film. There was a lot of thoughts that Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones were the ones that were going to be doing this. They're no longer doing anything. It came out that they were looking at the origin of the Jedi with it. So maybe not a Knights of the Old Republic type era film. What do you guys think? Do you think that we'll see Old Republic in a trilogy of some sort in the future in Star Wars?
I say yes, but I doubt it'll come anytime soon because it's a lot of uncharted territory. There'll be lots of debate on whether to do this or that. Mm-hmm. And I personally would like to see the origin of the Sith more because we know about the Jedi too much. I want something different.
That's fair.
That's awesome. Yeah, what about you?
I would definitely like to see Kathleen Kennedy and everyone that she brings in, all the Star Wars people. I'd like them to see them explore these sorts of things. But I do know that Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, has said less is more when it comes to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And of course, what we don't want to do is continue to divide the fan base. I do agree with The Mandalorian is going to kind of bring us back together. Mm-hmm. But I think it will come. It'll just be a long time from now.
Okay. Interesting.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Guys,
you
had to have some KOTOR fans talking about that game. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
you guys. All right, now I've got a couple honorable mentions. I can't talk Star Wars games without mentioning at least one more game. I'm going to mention three. But for me, the Star Wars game that I played probably more than any was Episode I Racer.
Because
I loved that game. All right, and you guys got to see me play that.
You should play it more often.
I should. We've got it at home now, don't we? With whose birthday? It was your birthday party. We were at the Esports Arena, and they actually hooked up. What was it? An N64 and Nintendo 64. There was all these people playing, all these other kids playing all these other games, and I'm just kind of standing there, being this old 44-year-old guy, kind of like, I got nothing to do here. And they're like, "We've got a Super Nintendo. Do you want us to hook it up for you?" I'm like, "Yes, thank you." And they brought out, because I had Star Wars stuff on. They're like, "Here's Episode One, Eraser." I'm like, "I'm on," and I was like, "This back playing it again and again." So that's another one. Do you guys know much about Dark Forces? Anybody in here Dark Forces fan? Star Wars Dark Forces?
Right here. It's right here.
There, you Dark Forces. Kyle Katarn. This is a major character in Legends.
He's like the Chuck Norris of Star Wars.
He's right? The Chuck Norris of Star Wars. Okay. That's good. That's sad that we came up with it. No, but here's the deal. The original Dark Forces story is him stealing the plans to the Death Star. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
On this? I mean, it's like he can't exist anymore because of Rogue One, but that's a major storyline that was in a game on that one. And then the third one, you can't talk Star Wars games without the original Battlefront 2. Star Wars Battlefront 2 2005. Anybody a fan in here? We got a couple? Oh, yeah. That one's a fun one. Oh, you like it too? Awesome. All right. So that's it. Any other games you guys think of that Star Wars related? Anybody got a Star Wars game that I did not mention that I have to bring up?
Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron. Nice. What else?
Star Trek's back to...
On the old one, the Super Star Wars stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, that one's a good one.
Jedi Academy.
So many of them.
Rogue Leaders,
yeah. Uh-huh. All those.
Naboo Starfighter. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That
one's fun. Let's not talk about that. All right. Okay.
Systems there.
Exactly. All right. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah, so Disney says Disney Plus has over 1 million.
No, that says 10.
10.
That says 10
million. 10. So I was still technically.
You're the one that's going to school for engineering. You should know your numbers.
Exhausted, okay? Right. I've been doing engineering all day.
And he had a calculus exam in college today. So,
so much fun. No.
Read that again.
So Disney says Disney Plus has over 10 million signups after launch day.
That
is insane.
Intense.
Yeah.
That's $70 million they made on Tuesday. From a streaming service. Did you guys see the stocks of Netflix and Disney on Wednesday? Netflix stock dropped like this. And Disney stock went like this. Disney stock increased by 8%.
Good Lord.
On Wednesday. Netflix stock dropped by up to almost 4% in one day.
Let the battle begin.
It's over. It's over. All right, next.
So, this coming Sunday is Life Day.
Life Day! All right, anybody in here? Star Wars Holiday Special. All right? Come on. It's available on YouTube. This Sunday is Life Day. If you have not seen the most cringeworthy Star Wars ever created.
Worse than Episode 2?
The story behind this guy, it's totally worse. God. Like, take the worst moments of Episode 2 and magnify them by 100, okay?
A million. It's like Goku Super Saiyan level 5.
It is so insane. It's like, if you've never seen Star Wars, like, adult entertainment, there's like a scene with that. It's scary. What was some of the other crazy stuff that we saw in that one?
Oh, no, it is family friendly.
It's just
heavily
weird.
Implied.
This is here's the story. Have you guys heard of that Carrie Fisher's story, like what she would do with the holiday special at her house?
Oh, yeah.
So she would throw these big parties. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, our princess, right?
Yeah.
She would throw these parties, and when she decided the party needed to be over, she would go into the living room and turn on the holiday special. And people would leave. George Lucas lost his mind in 1978 when they saw this thing for the first time, because he wasn't involved, and said never air it again. And it disappeared for decades until somebody got a copy and put it up on YouTube. It's available for free with the commercials, which are just as cringeworthy. All right? So this Sunday, we're going to try to find some time to watch the holiday special to celebrate Life Day, which, by the way, Life Day is mentioned in The Mandalorian with this. All right. Last thing. Naomi Aki. She's playing Janna. Naomi Aki warns that the Rise of Skywalker ending is going to leave fans with questions.
Good.
What do you think about that, guys?
I really enjoyed
it. I thought they were resolving this whole thing.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe questions about, like, what, like, that was in there? And, like, maybe...
Kind of like The Last Jedi. Yeah. Although that had actual...
The Last Jedi left a lot of questions. All right. So this one hopefully won't leave as many. All right. So this coming week, we've got our podcast poll of the week. Let's talk about what that is. It's going to be, what's your favorite Star Wars video game? I listed three and then let you guys say the others. Force Unleashed, KOTOR. I'm going to put Star Wars 83 in there so I can vote. And other comment below. Favorite Star Wars game, real quick.
Force Unleashed, out of this one.
Force Unleashed, all right. Well, we want to thank all our producers, everybody that makes this show possible. Our producers, Michael Condon, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, and the amazing YouTube channel, Star Wars Doctrine, that helps underwrite our show. Then our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse. Hi, Grammy. She didn't come tonight.
Come on, Dad. You didn't invite her.
I did.
Something about Grammy at a GameStop or a game release.
Yeah, probably not. And then our Swedish Switzerland. It is Switzerland. Swiss cheese, not Swedish meatballs.
Yeah.
Roberto Moreno. Go to our website, subscribe to our newsletter. Every week we give you updates on everything going on with Star Wars as well as our podcasts. Be a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. We're all over social media except for Snapchat because I can't figure that thing out. At Tatooine Sons, SONS, and give us some reviews. Go to iTunes. Your reviews are our oxygen. All right. Is that pretty much it?
I'm pretty sure that's it.
All right. Anything else you guys need to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. One Step Complete is available at the Home Depot.